Grace to you and peace
from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is white on the altar and in the rest of our paraments here in church today. But other than that, there are no manger scenes set up anywhere in town. There are no colorful lights adorning the streets and houses of our city. There are no evergreen trees set up in our church or in our homes, and no presents under them. It's not as festive as it is surrounding the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But still on this feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, we still commemorate it. And it's just as well that we commemorate it with less pomp and circumstance than we commemorate the birth of our Savior Jesus. John would have wanted it just that way. John eventually said to his disciples, after Jesus had been revealed to Israel, "He must increase and I must decrease." So without all of the festivity and celebration that surrounds Christmas, we still celebrate this Nativity of St. John the Baptist as the great forerunner, prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophets, even by the prophet Malachi, as you heard this morning. He is the Elijah whom God promised to send ahead of the great and glorious day of the Lord, ahead of the coming of the Messiah. John came in fulfillment of that prophecy, and throughout his ministry did exactly what his name declared he would do. The name John is from a Hebrew word, Yohanan, which means the Lord, Yahweh, is gracious. And so John became the preacher of God's grace, pointing to Jesus, the person in whom all of God's grace is wrapped up tight. John, the preacher of grace, his nativity we celebrate today. Now you probably remember the events leading up to the birth of John, how 9 months earlier, the angel Gabriel appeared to his father Zacharias, the priest, as he was ministering in the temple in Jerusalem, and announced to him that he and his wife Elizabeth, even in their old age, even though Elizabeth was barren, would have a son, and that they should call him John, and that he would be that one prophesied in the Old Testament to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to their children, so that Israel might be saved and not put under a curse at God's coming. But Zacharias didn't believe the angel Gabriel. And so the angel struck him dumb, unable to speak until the child would be born. You heard in the first part of our gospel today about the birth of that child, John, how Elizabeth in her old age did give birth to him, and on the eighth day of his birth, on the day of his circumcision and naming, all their relatives thought that he would be named after a family member, his own father, Zacharias. But both Elizabeth and Zacharias, in writing, since he couldn't speak yet, declared what his name would be, what the angel had told them to name him, John. The Lord is gracious. And with that, Zacharias' mouth was opened. Now the people present for that celebration of John's naming and circumcision wondered and asked, "What then will this child be?" But again, they already had the answer to their question in the name that was placed on him that day. The Lord is gracious. He would be a preacher of the Lord's grace personified in Jesus. Well, all of the prophets preached grace. Grace is one of those attributes of God that make up the definition of who He is. A God who, according to the name or title Grace, who loves, and whose love whose love doesn't depend on a person's worthiness or goodness. His love goes out to all people freely, unearned, because that's who God is. As he said to Moses, he declared his name, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now John, when he grew up, certainly did preach about that other truth of God that Moses also preached about, that God will by no means clear the guilty. In other words, God will not look at a sinner, someone who's broken the law, and simply say, "That's okay. You didn't really break the law. I don't mind that you broke the law. Go ahead and break the law. It doesn't matter." No, God says he is by no means that kind of a God. He does not clear the guilty. What does he do? He says he visits the iniquity, the sin of the fathers, onto the children. God comes and visits, and those whom he has declared to be under sin, he visits with condemnation. He visits with affliction and punishment of all kinds. That visiting that God does should be a very fearful thing for anyone who breaks the law, whether it's the law of the land or whether it's the moral law contained in all of the Ten Commandments. God visits the sin of the fathers on the children. Now that does apply to things going on in our country right now. But we're not going to get into anything political. We're going to focus on the fact that when God proclaims, "Do not do this," and people do it anyway, that's never okay with him. He punishes. And John proclaimed that punishment. It's the very message that he came preaching when he went out into the wilderness. Repent. In other words, you have sins that are not okay. God will not just clear you. Repent. Turn from those sins first in your hearts and look to this promise of God that he promises to forgive you your sins. Now that's different than simply saying, "It doesn't matter that you sinned. It's okay that you sinned. Go ahead and keep on sinning." This is, no, recognize your sin and recognize that God is coming with condemnation. But recognizing that, look to his promise for remission of sins, not just anywhere, not just out of the sky, but in the person of his Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. And John then connected that promise to the baptism, which is why he's known as John the Baptist or baptizer. Connecting the promise of forgiveness to baptism. That was John's message in the wilderness. Repent of your sins, which are not okay, but look to God's grace for forgiveness in the person of Christ, for free. God did promise to visit the iniquity of the fathers onto the children. But what did Zacharias also sing about God in his Spirit-inspired song that was part of the gospel you heard today and that we just sang before the sermon? "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." God's wrath is being visited against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But God has also visited and redeemed his people and provided the shelter from his wrath in the house of his servant David. Now, John the Baptist was not born into the house of David. Zacharias was a priest, which means he was not from the house of David. He was from the house of Levi, not from the house or the tribe of Judah, or the specific house of David. So when Zacharias sings about this child, this horn of salvation whom God has raised up for us in the house of his servant David, he isn't even singing about his own son. He's singing about another very, very small child who has only been growing for 3 months in the womb of his virgin mother Mary, who was almost surely present there at John's birth and there for his circumcision. Jesus was 6 months younger than John. And so now, at John's birth, Jesus still has 6 more months to go in Mary's womb, but he's already there, 3 months gestation. The horn of salvation that God raised up to the house of David, because of course Mary and her future husband Joseph were of the house of David. So just as John's father pointed to Jesus on the day his son was named, so his son John would point to Jesus in his future ministry and preach how the grace of God had visited the Jews in the person of Jesus Christ. All of God's goodness and promises were wrapped up in that one person, wrapped up so tightly that God's grace isn't found anywhere else in all creation, only in the person of his son, to whom John, the preacher of grace, pointed. And so Zacharias' song continued, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Now John never once preached about deliverance from the Jewish enemies called the Romans. Never once preached against the deliverance or about the deliverance of Israel from any earthly enemy. What he preached about, and what Jesus also preached about, was deliverance from the great enemies of all human beings, the enemies of sin and death and the devil. John proclaimed salvation from those enemies. He preached that in Christ God has shown mercy and continues to show mercy, that this mercy was promised long ago to the people of Israel, all the way back to the beginning, to Genesis, to Adam and Eve. The holy covenant he made, not the covenant of the law, but the other covenant, the covenant of salvation, the covenant of grace, the New Testament, in the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was the bringer of that new covenant, that New Testament in his blood. God continually and fully and freely forgives all the sins of the one who is part of this new covenant. And you enter this new covenant through faith in Christ, because by his blood Jesus has paid for the sins of the world. And so God invites all people to repent and find forgiveness of their sins in Jesus. But God doesn't do that inviting silently or secretly. He doesn't do that inviting with whispers in your ear, or with trumpets sounding from heaven, or with burdens that you feel on your heart. He calls people to faith in Jesus through the spoken word. That's the task to which John was appointed from birth, to be a preacher of grace, the last of the Old Testament prophets who would herald the Christ who was right there at the door. That's what Zacharias sang in his song. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. But again, God doesn't just toss His grace out into the world. He doesn't toss life and forgiveness up into the air and scatter it in the wind for you to grasp it somewhere. God locates His grace, His life, His forgiveness in this spoken word and in water that's connected with that word, the water of baptism. Again, John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What John started 2,000 years ago is what every preacher of grace has been doing since, showing secure sinners their sins and pointing penitent sinners to Jesus as the location of God's grace, and bringing Jesus to sinners with all His grace, with all His forgiveness, in the spoken word and in holy baptism, and now also in His holy supper of the forgiveness of sins, the meal of the new covenant. Now pastors are the preachers of grace sent by God to His people to walk in the footsteps of John the Baptist and point people to Christ. John is the chief role model, in fact, for every preacher. So it's for good reason that we bring him into our service, not only today on June 24th, the celebration of his nativity, but in every divine service, every single week. We bring in John, the preacher of grace. There's John the Baptist pointing us to our baptism, as you hear in the invocation, the word spoken over you at your baptism, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. John's there in the Gloria in Excelsis when we sing his own words, Lord God, Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world. John, of course, spoke those words about Jesus. We speak them or sing them again in the Agnus Dei as we're about to receive Jesus' body and blood. O Christ, Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Eleison, as we sang in the first hymn today, have mercy. Or another translation, be gracious to us. There's John, the preacher of grace, one last time in every Aaronic benediction at the end of the service. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Now, the Lord has been gracious to all of us in sending His Son to redeem us and in sending John to be the forerunner of Jesus, who prepared the Jews to receive Him and still runs before Him in the words of Holy Scripture. The Lord has been gracious to us in sending preachers of grace to administer His grace continually from the day of our baptism to the day of our death. Hear the word of God from His preachers of grace. Like John the Baptist, we are nothing. Christ is everything. Don't put your faith in us. Put your faith in Christ. Don't expect us to pander to anyone, to entertain anyone, or to make anyone feel warm and fuzzy inside. If you find a preacher like that, run away as fast as you can. Instead, look to a preacher of grace to point you away from ourselves to Jesus, like John the Baptist did, whose birth was not heralded by angels in the heavens, or by wise men, or guiding stars. Instead, everything about his birth, everything about his life, pointed away from himself toward Christ, who is, in the words of Zacharias, the day spring from on high, who has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.